Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And I got this really interesting email that came through, and it says that the Women's Fund of Santa Barbara is distributing almost $1.4 million worth of grants. And this is amazing to me because I was talking with Richard about this. It's such a heartwarming thing when we have all these cuts happening everywhere. And Rich and I always talk about the cuts to the arts, for example, are such a tragedy in schools, for example. But also, you know, the food banks, the all kinds of social services, everything's being cut. And I'm thinking, oh, who's going to pick up the slack? And then this crosses my desk from the Women's Fund of Santa Barbara, set to distribute $1.375 in grants pool in 2026. And I actually got on the phone and called Carrie Barker, and I asked Carrie, who's the, I guess you would say she's a corporate and communications and media relations person on the Women's Fund. And we had a really interesting talk about what the Women's Fund does, how it retains its members, what the process is to donate. I lived here for many, many years. I had no idea that the group was as egalitarian as it was. I thought it was, you know, very wealthy women that got together and wore clothes. This is not what it is all about at all. And so I was so refreshed to hear from Carrie all the good work. So just sort of a summary. And I wish I was going to be a fly on the wall for this. March 10th at the Old Mission, Father Larry is going to bless the Good Samaritan food truck. It's a food service truck that the Women's Fund has gotten together under their, I think it's a small grants program that they have. And then this is a pilot project. And so this is a food truck that that's going to be blessed because the members, of which there are 1,400, that's amazing. Members of the Women's Fund, they've gotten together, and how they've done this is pretty incredible. That's just one thing that I noted that they're doing. And then they're the largest such organization that does what they call a circle of giving. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and how these organizations are chosen that are the giftees. So there's going to be in May a celebration of grants at the Libero. And that's going to be pretty fantastic. And I wanted to know, Carrie, we didn't get into this, but how many organizations will be represented at the Libero when you have your celebration of grants on May 13th?
Well, Elizabeth, thanks for having us on. We don't know yet. We do not know how many grantees we will have. That all is left up to our members. Our members will vote on a ballot, and we'll be talking about that today. And yeah, that determines how many grant recipients we will be providing.
Okay, so it's pretty close to the wire then. It's okay. All right.
So I wanted to mention something too, is that the grant that you mentioned about the food truck for Good Samaritan Shelter, that actually was a grant last year that the Women's Fund gained for $150,000. And we are delighted that they are now just launching that new truck at the Old Mission with the ribbon cutting. And many of our members will be over there to celebrate that with them.
Okay. So getting a bit ahead of myself, I just wanted to start with the beginning. So this has been going on. The Women's Fund has been getting together and voting on organizations that they want to support with their money since 2004. And so since 2004, we have $13 million has been awarded to 163 local not-for-profits. And this is just incredible and so needed. It's so necessary. So I want to get in. First of all, I want to introduce our panel that's here. And then I want to actually get into how the money is distributed and where the money comes from. Because after I was speaking with Carrie, it's like, why don't I join? It's affordable and it's such a benefit to the community. I had no idea. Anyway, let me introduce who's here. Lauren Trujillo, we have spoken before, Lauren, because you actually were really a foundational person in the Santa Barbara Public Library, kind of the redo that actually after our show that we did together, my partner John and I attended all kinds of things about that opening ceremony, and especially the fun time all around the central square and all the music that you had and it was a great community day. Lauren is the vice board chair of the Women's Fund. She's a graduate of our UCSB. She has a BA in history and a master's degree in library and information science from UCLA. And she's the foundation director for the Santa Barbara Public Library Foundation. And so this is how I know her from the library. She's also a member of the Junior League, the Optimist Club, Santa Barbara Young Professionals, and I think didn't you get some award recently, Lauren, of like 40 X number of people under 30 or 40 to watch something like this?
Fundraiser of the year for the AFP chapter, so that was that's a great what
I
honor.
Thought. Okay,
thank
I saw
you.
That. Yes. Yeah, that's fantastic fundraiser. You have a position on the board of the Women's Literary Festival, and you know, your communications with me and to the library and all this, it was just such a fantastic job you did. So Lauren is with us. Carrie Parker, we spoke to a few minutes ago. She's communications and media relations for the Women's Fund. She became a member in 2019, and then I had to look her up because she sounded on the phone such a poised businesswoman. And I thought, I've got the wrong idea about the Women's Fund, that they're, you know, kind of society gals. Because this sounded, speaking of Carrie, this sounded like, wow, this was a woman who understood business and understood how to make herself communicable. Well, turns out she co-owned directed Holland Parlette, which is an association management company in San Francisco for 30 years. She was strong with the Father Virgil's organization. I adored him. And she's on the boards of many different things, including the Democratic Women of Santa Barbara and the Santa Barbara Mission Archive Library. And Carrie, are you in San Francisco now?
I am, actually. I'm up in San Francisco. I'm attending a convention today.
Yes, when we talked to you, you said you were going to the Democratic Women's Convention, and you are our delegate, is that right?
I'm actually a delegate for Greg Hart at the Cal Dem Party Convention here at Moscone Center. So I'll be here through the weekend.
Just out of curiosity, what's the tone like?
Well, I haven't made my way over to Moscone Center yet, so I'll have to report back to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that it's probably very much a bunch of people very fired up for change, I would think. I would think that would be, yeah, it's probably
right.
What's going to, yeah. Caroline Jabs is here, and Carolyn is, she's long-term, actually, what is this? This is 12 years with the Women's Fund?
It has been a while, yes.
Yeah, Carol. Okay, she's board chair. Last year, she was on the research committee. Before that, she has a strong background, how I know her as a writer. She's done all sorts of articles and essays all over the country, self-working mother, Newsweek, New York Times. She's the author of the award-winning column Growing Up Online. Wow. We can talk a lot about that. You know, it's, yeah. I mean, it's craziness, but that's just, it was a prescient thing you did, award-winning column Growing Up Online. complexities of parenting in the digital age. She's active in I used to be a member, and I should get back to it, but the Association for Women in Communications. And I actually remember her on a board, a panel speaking about how to get published, I think, years and years ago.
And you and I think we talked when Lisa Engel was part of that organization. And
yes,
about
yes.
Achievement. So yes, and I much admire your work for the community too, because you are a communicator that keeps the community connected.
Well, thank you. I mean, sometimes I think it's like, what am I actually doing? Like, you guys are doing some really good work. And I think, you know, I write for, I've written for every paper that's been in Santa Barbara for 20 plus years. And recently I'm writing for the Montecito Journal. And people send me the strangest things, Carolyn. They send me like, oh, will you look into this? Yesterday I got an image of two nudes. It was an old lithograph. And would you look into this? And would you let me know who is the artist? Would you let me know what kind of era is collectible? And so that started a big, long conversation with the owner of the lithograph. All these things that I do these little things pro bono, because I think, oh, everybody's got an association with their objects that they're kind of embarrassed to admit. Since we're all supposed to hate material culture these days, but you know, I love it. So Carolyn's here, Lauren's here, Carrie's here, and then Janessa is here, Janessa Van Vechten, and she's the research committee chair. I want to know what the research committee does. So she's been a member of the Women's Fund recently, 2022. She has a not-for-profit background. I'm thinking the Food Bank of Santa Barbara, et cetera. She's on the board of directors. I had never heard of this organization. The board of directors for Veggie Rescue.
Yes.
I mean, this is amazing. So, okay, I got to tell you. So as I was reading this, your bio, I'm thinking Veggie Rescue. I work actively with Dachshund Rescue. I'm a Dachshund dog, you know, the breed Dachshund. That's right. My breed. And my latest, I don't know if you saw him, Slink. Slink is my latest Dachshund, and he just came through here with his toy. He's a rescue as well. And I've got a client right now, and anybody who wants it can let me know. Everybody and his brothers had an upright piano pass through their hands, and people tell me, what am I going to do with this piano? I got to get rid of it, and I've got this piano. And do you know that there's a nascent organization called Piano Rescue?
I did not know that.
Okay, Janessa, you got competition with Veggie Rescue, because Piano Rescue is for all these orphan pianos that nobody really wants, but they've been loved and played on, you know, since somebody bought it for their kid in 1962.
Sure. Well, and there are a lot of things that need rescuing and that can be reused. There are electronics, lots and lots of things, you know, and it's part of sustainability. So, you know, whether it's a dachshund or a piano, I completely agree. My 5-year-old son just started playing piano, and I don't want to buy a new piano for him because he's 5.
Do you need a piano?
I need a piano for my 5-year-old son. Yes.
But okay. Call it a done deal.
Okay.
Do you want a baby grand, or do you want an upright?
I don't know what's best for a 5-year-old.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So, my mother was, Richard knows this, but my mother was the first female graduate in conducting from Juilliard. She was born in 1929. Yeah.
Are you serious?
And she taught piano. Yes, I know. There's Richard. He's given the song and dance. She actually taught piano all my life out of our little house, little, you know, brick house.
Okay.
So I know a lot about people and teaching piano and this sort of thing. And then I taught piano, believe it or not, the stupidest thing in the world. I was in the Peace Corps. I got sent to Africa to teach piano. I mean, craziness. I mean, teaching piano to the Africans. I mean, who's going to teach music to the Africans? I'm a white girl. It was nuts. So,
why is it nuts?
But at any rate, yeah, I carted a piano across the sea to Africa and taught piano. At any rate, if your child, has promised. Do you think he or she?
He.
Do you think?
I have three boys, and the 5-year-old wants to emulate his older brother who plays guitar. So I have absolutely no doubt that he's committed to playing the piano.
Because he's a competitive sort.
He's a competitive sort, and he's not to be outdone by his 11-year-old brother.
Okay, then I would say I've got a friend, Carol. She's got a beautiful baby grand, and it's you know, you have to have the room for it. It's,
how big is a baby grand? Because we have
a baby grand is almost five and a half feet long, maybe 6 feet long.
Okay, let me write that down because my husband will have to confirm whether our garage has this capacity, but I think we do.
Okay. The other one that I saw yesterday that the lady wanted to get rid of, talk about our Santa Barbara being committed. So this was a client of mine who passed away, and he left everything to the direct relief.
Oh,
so
yes.
Isn't that fantastic? So
that's,
he's got his entire house and everything that was in it, including this piano, and directly relief doesn't know what to do with the piano. So they asked me, you know, what can you do with this piano? And it's 1962 Wurlitzer piano, but yeah. It is a console. It's upright. And so it's not that deep. You know, it's maybe 3-4 feet deep. That's it.
You would sit down. Would you sit down to play it?
Oh, yeah. Both of these. I mean, they're okay. So the difference is, a baby grand is like the thing that a pianist would play on a concert hall.
Okay.
And the upright is the one that, I mean, everybody that's around Richard my age, early 60s, that's how we grew up practicing uprights. You know, their spinets or uprights, they're more boxy. They're not the beautiful sculpted line of a grand.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can send you
promising.
Pictures. I'll send you pictures of, I think I got pictures of both. I think the baby grand, I think she wants a little bit of money for, but I know that the upright, they don't want anything for.
A little bit of money is I'm sure worth it. I mean, it sounds like it's a promising opportunity. So thank you so much, Elizabeth. Can I call?
Okay, now can we maybe get back to time? See, I mean, this is a networking thing. So one of the things I asked and I carry about, which was really important to me, because I have a really close girlfriend who's a member of the Little Town Club. And she is not a spring chicken. And she was saying, how do we get people, that younger women, how do we get them interested and keep up with the things that we want to do? And we're all getting to be a certain age. And I said to Carrie, I said, you know, so many of these organizations in town, venerable organizations that have been around a long time, they're finding it difficult to get traction with some of the young, you know, the young people. And so Carrie said something really interesting, because I said, you know, during our show, Carrie, we could actually put out a call. Anybody, young person, let's talk about, you know, joining the Women's Fund. Carrie said, you know, honestly, we don't have to. We've got 1,400 members. We've got more members than we know what to do with. Of course, we always use more, but the issue is we keep our members, and our members, I said, how? How does a board in Santa Barbara keep their members like the Women's Fund? And Carrie
said,
that's
interesting, Elizabeth.
Yeah, please, Carrie. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I think we, what you modeled right here with Janessa about making a personal connection, you know, I think this is something women do spontaneously. And in women's, we have this really interesting model that allows that to happen. It's just that it happens around philanthropy. So women who have, the beauty of giving circles is that it's women who have more than, you know, they have extra, they have something to give away. And so, but some women, you know, get involved in fundraisers and silent auctions, but a lot of us are like, we've done that, ready to do something else. And so we just put the money in the pot. And then because we have the research committee led by very capable women, Janessa's our leader this year, we identify programs that would benefit nonprofits in our community who are meeting critical needs, who would benefit from an infusion of funds. And the beauty of this is that you can join Women's Fund at a very modest level by becoming part of a group. In order to vote on the ballot, you have to have $2,750. But how you get to that amount is entirely up to you. So you can do it as an individual, or you can do it as a book club, or you can do it as a hiking group, or your neighbors on the street, or a mother-daughter team, however it was you want to get involved. So you can, the amount that you're contributing, just depending on the group that you're in. And as a result, a lot of people can participate, but once you're part of that group is what we call our stickiness, because those groups get attached to each other. And once a year, at least once a year, and often twice a year, because most groups come to Celebration of Grants, at least once a year, you get together with these women to talk about how are we going to cast our ballot? How are we going to give out these grants? And that process, it's for many of us pretty emotional. It's like, you know, this is a lot of money and we get to infuse it into organizations that we believe in. And so doing that as a shared, in connection with other women, you really do get attached to people. You know, you start to really look forward to seeing them and to being part of this process. And that's what I think is the secret sauce. I think that's what has made this organization strong and durable.
Okay, that's what my question that I wanted to put to Carrie, and she answered it beautifully. She just said, I said, what is it, Carrie? Is it society girls? Is it social, you know, social networking? I mean, what keeps the glue? What's the glue? And she said, really, it's about the care for the community. And I was shocked when she told me, you want to get together with some of your girlfriends and, you know, raise up $2,750. Then you're in. I mean, you get a voice in the vote. That's really fantastic. I guess you always think about these organizations. I'm going to have to be on the board. If I want to be on the board, I'm going to have to come up with $10,000. I'm going to come up with $15,000 if I want to be on the board. This is not like that. I didn't know this.
For the younger members, it's so attractive because for a younger person, maybe who does not have as much in terms of charitable contributions they're able to give out, for only $275, which is the minimum threshold, they can join with those other women, come up with that $2,750 as a group. And so there is a very easy entry point to the Women's Fund. And
yeah, I'll just add that I joined when I was 25, thinking back 7 years ago, not that I'm that much older now, but 25. And, you know, you're not thinking about your philanthropic impact at 25 because you're surviving and in Santa Barbara. And so to make my $275, which was my annual gift and my contribution to the community, and my tax write-off, I could contribute to this almost $1 million grants pool at the time. And now here I am 7 years later involved with the board, and to see that number increase, but also to have the unmeasurable, I would say, mentorship from these other women has been life-changing and incredible benefit that I was not expecting from being a part of this organization or part of the giving circle. So I just want to throw that in there too for any young members thinking about it. It is a great place to start in your philanthropic giving.
And I think it was Janessa trying to say something. Go ahead, Janessa.
Yes, I was. And you know what I really want to say about this, Elizabeth, is that you can actually be a Women's Fund. You can vote as a Women's Fund member and pay absolutely $0. And the way you can do that is by being gifted a membership. So I actually am in the process of gifting my mom a Women's Fund membership today. And she doesn't know yet, so hopefully she doesn't listen to this program. But I'm giving her a gift of a Women's Fund membership that she will have by the end of today, so that she can join a group and start voting. And so you don't have to pay a dollar to actually vote. Someone else can pay the dollar for you. And so that's another incredible thing about the Women's Fund. And I looked you up before we joined this call. And I know you wrote a book. I think it's called No Thanks, Mom, Gifts That Kids Want. And it's true. I think you're right. Kids don't want heirlooms anymore, right? But I think kids want, like you said, I mean, this is your own words. You said that kids spend less on material items and they want experiences. This is an experience. And so I think what we're seeing here is that people want the experience of being on the Women's Fund. And that experience is, you know, it can be felt as a civic duty. It can be felt as philanthropy. It can be felt as community. It can be felt as lack of isolation. I mean, there are so many aspects of experience that relate to being a Women's Fund member. And so I think your book, I haven't read your book, but just knowing what it's about, I think you're 100% right. People, you know, who are young these days, they don't really want an Omega watch necessarily, right? They want an experience. I mean, maybe some people want an Omega watch, Lauren. I don't know. But I think a lot of people want an experience, and the Women's Fund can offer you that. And it can offer you that by, you know, even without you paying. So I'm going to give my mom that experience, even if she doesn't want to pay $275. So yeah, I did want to jump in there. Thanks.
I think that's fantastic. You know, it's the book is No Thanks, Mom, the top 10 things your kids don't, your grown kids do not want.
I love it.
And yeah, so it was actually made my son and daughter-in-law absolutely crazy, livid, mad at me because I used them as an example in the book that, you know, they're in their mid-30s. And so it was like, okay, this is, you know, the kind of stuff they do not want, for example. And I was going to have to next time around, I have to put pianos in there, I guess, based on our conversation, Janessa. But okay, I want to set a stage for you, and I want to ask you what the remedy might be at the Women's Fund for such a thing. So it's been years, but for many, many years until I was in my early 30s, I was in ballet companies. And so I danced, you know, consistently. And as I was getting older, I mean, you're saying, well, okay, you're 31. Are you older? Yes, you are in that sort of a discipline. So as I was getting older, I started to work on the board of the ballet company. So one particular ballet company that I was involved with. And we were in a very wealthy city, and we had some very, of course, ballet, it attracted a lot of women to the board, and we had a lot of very wealthy women. I mean, the wife of, I think it was Pittsburgh Paint and Glass. This was a ballet company in Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, billionaires, and God, you should have seen her diamond ring, my heavens. But at any rate, you know, so what we got, though, when we started even to start think about a season, you know, what are we going to dance? What are we going to present? We got a lot of egos and a lot of opinions and a lot of powerful women my way, because they were used to that, you know, used to that's. And I'm wondering if that is a thing at the Women's Fund, how you avoid that. And then the second part of the question, I asked Carrie when we had the opportunity to speak, I want some examples of people that you have, or organizations that you have chosen to give to, what their reactions are and how the results of what you've given them, you know, what the results look like today. So the first part of the question is, powerful women and powerful egos all in one room together, not to mention you've got, what is it, 1,450 members. How, do you have checks and balances on that sort of thing, that I want this organization? And
we actually do. I mean, one of the things that's so interesting about Women's Fund is that we do have members of all, you know, all levels. I mean, some of our members are very generous, and so we have that. But what we're run by volunteers. We're an all volunteer organization, led and managed by volunteers. I mean, we pay our accountant, and we pay for a website and a couple of things like that. But almost all of the money that we collect goes out the door. And so we've developed this very collaborative culture where it isn't about, and our research committee is part of this. Our research committee is collaborative, where they go out and identify. I mean, Janessa can talk to this in more detail, but they bring us a ballot of organizations that have been gone through some pretty careful scrutiny to be sure that they are financially sound, that they have a good plan, that they have a good idea. And we focus specifically on projects that meet the critical needs of women, children, and families in South Santa Barbara County. So we have some parameters around what it is that we do. And because we're entirely managed by volunteers, we don't do complicated donations. We don't take artwork. We don't take real estate or vehicles or any of that. We really do try to keep it simple, because otherwise our volunteers would burn out and we wouldn't be able to have that model anymore. So, but I'll let others talk about what we fund, because Janessa is right on top of that.
Okay, so what I'm understanding, what I'm hearing you say, is because the mission is kind of encircled by the goals of women and families and children, that kind of helps control some of the I want. So that controls that. So I guess the next question would be who you look to donate to. And then also, I want to hear, like I said, I asked Carrie if she might think about this. I want to hear what the results have been. You know, the cool thing about radio is, you know, I can see you guys because we're on Zoom, but the listeners can't see you. And what they listen for are real human stories, I think, in the most part. So go to quick break. Richard's giving us that sandwich looking thing. That means break. So go to quick. I know there's a sandwich. So we'll go to quick break. And then we get back from the break. I want to focus on some results and you know, some people. I mean, the food truck being blessed by Father Larry, that sets up such a picture that I can really see it in front of my eyes. So quick break, and then let's talk about what impacts have been made. Okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I have the great honor of speaking to wonderful women. And I just have to say, we had such a great conversation, Carrie Parker and I. She's the Communication and Media Relations Director for the Santa Barbara, the Women's Fund of Santa Barbara. Carolyn Jabs is here. She's board chair. Lauren Trujillo, vice board chair. Carrie, as you said, board corporate secretary. And Janessa Van Vechten, research committee chair. And I asked the important thing, you know, which is personal stories, how organizations, grantees were affected, have been affected, you know, changed lives in some cases. And I think, did you guys, one of you four will speak to me about, okay, Janessa's saying yes. Okay, go ahead.
I think Lauren actually.
Oh, I'll jump in. Yeah. Happy to share. I mean, I think that picture to paint for people listening is that the Women's Fund makes large, impactful grants for organizations, and it's so much more than you could do as an individual. Starting at 50,000 and up to 100,000 or more for up to 2 years. So it is incredible the impact that is being made, and I have seen it personally at the library. The library received a grant in 2019 for a mobile van, the Library on the Go. You may see it out in the community. Made over 400 stops last year, and that was funded by the Women's Fund, and we are so grateful to see that basically fourth branch of the library grow and expand thanks to the Women's Fund. And another impact of the Women's Fund is the inspiration it drives. You've just showed the impact that can be made at the Women's Fund. And so 1,400 members now and their networks are now aware of the cause of the issue and the service that a nonprofit is providing. And so what that led to at the library was funding coming forward from state and funding coming forward from other local donors that led to us funding a second library on the go van that is coming in the next few months. So really, the Women's Fund has a ripple impact beyond the gift that they're making at the time and the very well-vetted projects that we support. They're not minor changes to organizations. They're transformative. We've seen that with this SB PAL. They got a new kitchen for their teen area. I recommend you supporting SB PAL. We've got the Good Samaritan, as you've covered, the food bank. I was just driving around the other day and I saw the neighborhood clinics van that we funded and supported for vision testing at the various schools. So you'll start to notice the Women's Fund all out and about in our community. And we hope it inspires you to either become a member or support the causes that we've backed, because those groups are making huge impact in our community, and we're proud to partner with them.
How often do you meet as a whole group?
So the Women's Fund, you have 1,400 members. We're not getting together regularly because it's a lot of people. But with the group model, our group captains help drive their groups coming together. As well as our individual members, they have groups that they get together with throughout the year. But aside from that, our volunteers put together grants in action throughout the year so that our members can see the impact in action. And so we'll offer forums or tours of sites, and our members are invited to attend that. So it's an opportunity for you to cross-pollinate with other members that may not be in your group and to interact with each other. And then, of course, we all come together for the celebration of grants. All members are invited to attend that. And that's a great opportunity to see our vote in action. Aside from that, with the voting group meetings, that is totally up to each group and their group captains to get together and decide where they want to allocate the money. So it's one of the easiest organizations to belong to, I like to tell people, because you make your donation and you can get together with your group once a year to vote, and that's really all you can do. Or you can participate in all these other opportunities we provide to members.
Okay, so Janessa has got, please.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, Carolyn and I were both last night at a Women's Fund sponsored panel on homelessness and
My
how.
next question, I was going to ask about that. That's on my list. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Carolyn and I sat next to each other, and we watched a panel on how to help the unhoused population here in Santa Barbara County. And so, you know, that was a fascinating experience. And I think about 120 or so members ended up coming to that. So we don't often get together as a whole, you know, the whole 1,450 members, but we get together a lot in terms of small educational events, you know, new member groups or, at the library, Lauren, they have certain receptions for learning about volunteer opportunities. So, I mean, we have a lot. That's part of the experience that I was telling you about, Elizabeth, where it's a real experience to become a member of the Women's Fund because there are constant opportunities to learn more about what's going on in the nonprofit landscape and in just in the landscape in Santa Barbara in general. I mean, you're a more informed citizen as a member of the Women's Fund, I think, than if you were not a member of the Women's Fund.
That's
Okay,
right. I
so
just want to piggyback that if I could, Elizabeth. The thing that the Women's Fund is so good at doing is we address the critical needs in the community. And so last night's event was so
yes.
critical to us as a as an organization. We could hear directly from the agencies, you know, how is what's happening on the ground? What are they seeing? What do they know are the needs in our community? So this is how we do our work. This is how the Women's Fund functions, and this is how we connect with one another. We have shared values here. We believe that it's our role to work within our community, help the agencies do their good work. And so things like grants in action, as well, what was mentioned, they tell us what's happening with these agencies, and we're always keeping an eye on things in our community, and we're looping back with the agencies who have received grants, so that we can find out, you know, how is it going? We get a mid-year report, we get an annual report from them back. And it's not anything elaborate, but we do provide that information to our members so that they know where their grant money is going.
Okay, let me ask about this, because I have on my notes here, I wanted to ask about last night, Wednesday night, Grant in Action program, and that I have a little underline in my notes calling it the quiet storm. That this is I want to know how it started. So is the Grants in Action, is that a subdivision of the Women's Fund? Is that what was the impetus behind the meeting, I guess?
That's the educational wing of our organization. I mean,
okay.
All volunteers. And one of the things that we are trying to do is help women become more informed philanthropists. I mean, it's one thing to sort of get appeals in the mail and to sit down and write a check. It's another thing to start thinking more systematically and more deeply about organizations, what they do, how do we know that what they do is effective? You know, what are the goals? This group process really does support women in thinking about these more more complicated questions, so that we can be sure that when we make a grant, it is going to something that's going to make a difference in the community. And so we try to inform ourselves as individuals. We share information. Our research committee, you know, shares then with members about what they think are the strengths of the organizations that are on the ballot. You know, what are they doing? What's their track record? Why do we think that they're going to be successful with what we're going to give them the money to do? So all of that really, I mean, for me, in some ways, this is the most exciting part. Giving away the money is great, but this community of informed philanthropists is really a critical part of what this organization does. And it's really unique. I mean, you don't get to do this in other settings.
So the Grants in Action, that was a meeting that was convened by the Women's Fund of Santa Barbara. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay. And you were holding this meeting to look at various organizations and how they were addressing the homeless issue. Is that what I'm understanding?
The organizations on the panel were all people who had received grants from Women's Fund in the past. And so they had gone through our research process and they had received grants. And so we, you know, have some confidence in the work, and we're invested in their work, literally invested in their work, and want them to succeed. And obviously now there are new challenges from when they received grants from us in the past. And so we're trying to understand this new, more complicated landscape for the nonprofits in our community and the stresses that they're under and how we might constructively be involved.
Yeah, Janessa.
Yes, and exactly, Carolyn. And I also want to point out, really critically, we want them to succeed and we're invested in them succeeding, but we also want to know if they're not yet succeeding in what we had hoped they would succeed in. So we're looking for measurable impact. So part of the reason we go to these events is so that we can hear from them, how have you measured your impact? And is that compelling to us? So we don't just give money and then assume that it all works out. No, because we're fiduciaries, we need to make sure that we're not having our members give money to things that are ultimately not succeeding, right? And so we go to these in part because we take it very seriously that these members are entrusting, you know, the Women's Fund with their dollars. They're entrusting our research process. They're entrusting all of our committees with the work that we're doing. I mean, we owe it to the members to make sure that we follow up and make sure that their dollars are actually being spent in the way that we hoped they would be spent. And not only that they're being spent in that way, but that it's having the measurable impact that we want to see. And so what we go to these for is to hear, how are you measuring success? So we speak to, and they're our partners. So this isn't adversarial in any way. We don't go to them and say, prove to us that this is working. We say, tell us, how is this going? How is it working for you? How have our grants helped you achieve these ends? And then we listen. And that's what we do. We listen.
Quick break. Okay, don't turn that down. Back in a minute. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I have the great honor of speaking to wonderful women. I remember just as a very, very young business person, my first foray into gallery, estate, auction, sales, that sort of thing. I was a kid, and there was the Women's Economic Forum. They actually took me under their wing and provided me with an accountant, a female accountant professional who could show me, as I was really lacking in numeracy. They show me how to do. It was called, I think, McAfee at the time. It was the accounting system, and that was. I still keep in touch with her 30, 40 years later.
Right.
So, then that was a women's organization. So let's say you were at the meeting, and it was last night, it was Grants in Action. It was about homelessness issues in our community. And you know that one of your grantees is having an issue that you have a member that could help them with. Like, okay, what do you do then?
That's a really interesting question. So my background, my undergraduate degree is from UC Berkeley in philosophy. Right. So that's probably not necessarily going to help in that capacity. My graduate degree is a Master of Science from the University of Pennsylvania in nonprofit leadership. So that could contribute, but I'm one person. So part of what we do is I'm already set to debrief with several people about that meeting last night. I mean, I literally this morning, I got an invitation to go debrief with someone who was also there. And we're going to put our heads together and talk about what we heard last night at that forum. And the person who invited me to that has a finance background. And so I'm sure all of you on the call know who that person is. All of you at the Women's Fund know who that person is. But she has a finance background, and she's on, the finance committee. And so, I'm excited to go speak with her because I have a background in nonprofit leadership. She has a background in finance and tech. And so, we can talk about what we heard last night, and we'll probably invite more people to come debrief and see, are we doing enough? Is there more that can be done? Because that's,
I guess that's, that was what I was driving at. Am I understanding this is just, okay, here we're going to get together, we're going to vote, and, we're going to keep track on the people we've given grants to. But if there's an issue, then we see that there's, we were hoping as Women's Fund, we were hoping for more than we actually have received.
Yes.
And now we're going to help, or we're just going to say, okay, next time around, you guys are out. But you're saying you will. Yeah.
We know it's a delicate balance. We have a very strict cycle that we have to follow that Carolyn could tell you more about. It's not that we don't give rolling grants to whoever applies at any time. We have a very strict cycle that we follow in terms of giving out grants. So we can't just go back to those agencies and say, oh, here we're giving you more money, because our membership is the one that decides ultimately where the money goes. So we're not, the meeting, the debrief that I'm going to have isn't going to result in those people getting more money right now. That's not the result. The result is going to be that we discuss it and we decide. It looks like, agencies that are working with the unhoused, there's still a gap. There's still a gap in service. And so what will happen then is we will put in our notes about critical community needs that the research committee takes and keeps very careful notes on. We will put in our notes, there are still gaps in the unhoused community's needs.
And so I see. So this is not just about money. This is about really learning.
Yes.
And what I think we can say is that because of these relationships that are being built, and that the organization is about relationships, and so often it's not Women's Fund per se. The Women's Fund, as Janessa said, has a very strict purpose. We gather the money together, we identify organizations, we vote on those organizations, we send the grants out. But this process of becoming more educated, often our members do find out about organizations. And then as individuals, they go, I mean, in some cases, we've had people where something was not funded, a grant was not made because the membership didn't vote for it. And an individual member has gone and said, I want to help with this because this matters to me. So women learn a lot about the community. So some of the good is not officially under the umbrella of Women's Fund, but it does have this multiplier effect that because as be women become more informed as philanthropists and more informed about the community, they are moved to do all kinds of good things for these organizations. So
I
we want
get
to
it.
take a little bit of credit for that. It's not our organizational purpose, but we want to take a little credit because it is because of these relationships and this understanding that we're building in our members.
I just want to say it's such an amazing thing because a bunch of your bios include that, you've got some background. I know in the case of Lauren, she's got a background in history. That is a huge thing for me. And Santa Barbara history is full of female philanthropy. I mean, absolutely jam-packed, like no other city. And this is just one more example. And it's so interesting, Richard. What it's so interesting to me. So what we're talking about is a special type of activism, and but it's a soft storm activism. It isn't I'm out there with the flag beating people down. This is a different kind of activism. And I remember a quote. I don't know who said it, but this is a style of diplomatic activism, diplomacy at its best, and especially at its best because it's female, of course, present company excluded, Richard.
So there's no storming the citadel, is what you're saying.
No, this is this well in a quiet way. This is what we're best at, storming citadels. But activism is the rent I pay for living in this community. And so this is a different kind of activism than what we're seeing happening all over the world today. And I love it. I think it's this is why this appealed to me so much, to talk. And I want to thank everybody, especially Carrie, who spent an hour of her time, trying to get me up to speed with the program. All right, finally. People are probably interested if they're listening to this program and they're thinking, wow, this is a way to make an impact for it's a huge bang for the buck. And I really want to make an impact. I want to be able to network this way. And I want to know who's the best to call. How do we get in touch? Carrie's shaking her head. She knows.
It's very easy to get involved in the Women's Fund. Just go to our website, womensfundsb.org. There's a button on there under membership. You can join right on the website. It's open to all women. So just go ahead and click on that button and join. You will hear from our membership committee right away, and you will be welcomed into our organization. We have some events, new member and prospective member events, where you can come and meet other members and learn about our organization. But we warmly welcome all new members to join the Women's Fund.
Okay, so I want to thank Carolyn Jebs, Board Chair, Women's Fund of Santa Barbara, Carolyn Lauren Trujillo, Vice Board Chair, almost everything in town. She's chair, chair something, and that's fantastic. Carrie Parker, Board Corporate Secretary, and she was so kind and filled me in on what's happening. Kind of a cold call and Janessa van Vechten, obviously. I almost said when she said, "Oh, my undergraduate degree's in philosophy. I couldn't be of any help." I don't know. I gotta say, the if you don't understand, your world, you can't be of any help. So I guess, you know, from the standpoint, and this is fantastic, very, very proud to be a female in Santa Barbara because of you guys. The Women's Fund of Santa Barbara, take a look, www.womensfund, women's, no apostrophe, but women's fund, and it's women's fund, not woman's, women's fund. Fund sb.org, and you can take it or give them a call. The office number is 805-895-1073. And if you want to become involved and you're at wit's end, I'm not liking the direction we're going. How do I change things? I'm one little person. I don't have a lot of money. This is the key right here. You know, there's strength in numbers. Like I said, this type of activism makes such a difference. And this kind of activism is the rent we pay for living in a place like Santa Barbara. I love it. Thanks everybody for being with us today. Appreciate it.
And thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.